Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whose thou wast privileged to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, for the Lord has truly risen, alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan, your Rosary on the Road. I had a very interesting conversation with a friend of mine who I want to pray for today. Well, I want to pray for a deceased family member who unfortunately was passed away rather suddenly, not unexpectedly, but rather suddenly nevertheless, and I want to pray for the repose of her soul. She's outside of any denominational version of Christianity, which makes it rather difficult, really, since the degree of conversion of such a soul on the deathbed would have to be quite great. But the Church does teach us that there's only one person we can say definitively is in hell, and that is Judas Iscariot. Everybody else has at least some hope. So I want to pray for Deborah and the repose of her soul. Other than that, I don't have any special intentions to pray for today, and I encourage you to change that. Write in your intentions, especially during this Easter season when we have some extra graces to gain. And you can write them into dailydecatrequests@protonmail.com. That's Decat, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And anything, whether it's a prayer request, an intention, a comment, a question, anything that you have about this little broadcast that we're doing here, send it in. I'd be delighted to receive it and even more delighted to pray for you. Now for today, though, let's go ahead and pray for Deborah, and then I can remark on that interesting conversation I had with another friend that gave rise to what it is that I want to talk about today, so for the repose of the soul of Deborah. Today is a Wednesday, so we'll be praying in Latin today. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostre, salve. Ad te clamamus, exsulis filia Evi, ad te suspiramus, gementes et flentes, in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte. Et Iesum beatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulce Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Requiem aeternam dona ea Domine, et lux perpetua ea lucet, et requiescat in pace. For all of us in our daily battles, great and small, near and far, and all our crosses, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimum cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. It's a very strange thing that happened. I have conversations that pop up like this all the time. I've had an interesting conversation with a friend and another conversation that followed shortly thereafter online that dealt with the trouble with prayer, right? The trouble with getting prayer, you know, going. I had a wonderful conversation about how to get children to pray and praying as a family, and these are things that, you know, anyone who has a young family in particular really struggles with. And I thought, well, since I have a theme going, it seems, this week, this Easter week, and what more appropriate week to have such a theme on the subject of prayer. It's been on my mind, and I hope that y'all have been finding what I have to say helpful. If you're not, then that's a result of it all coming from me and none of it coming from God. But hopefully some of this will be helpful to you and help you to cultivate a better prayer life, or cultivate a prayer life if you're just starting out. And of course, all of this is trial and error, but with any layman like myself, it's something that we work with our confessors and sort of grope in the dark a bit until the light illumines us. In this case, I have a struggle that I think a lot of people with young children have about how to get a family to begin praying as a family. And it can be a struggle, especially of young children and toddlers. And we've tried a number of different things. There's something new that we're going to try very soon. I have a young child who's very fond of music. And unfortunately, I'm completely musically illiterate. I cannot read a single note. That creates something of a struggle. But fortunately, I do have some memory of tones, and once I hear it, I can recreate it. And there's a wonderful collection of all of the recitations of psalms and of from the breviary that you can find online, so that's helpful. And of course, there's a lot of hymn books as well that you could listen to the hymns as they're presented on things like YouTube. And as much as I don't like to use that site, as well as on Spotify and a few other places, so you have something to draw from. We're incorporating music as a means to try to get the kids a little bit more involved, and it's an appropriate way to increase our own prayer life. It's sometimes easier to sing a hymn than it is to pray through a group of prayers, and as long as the hymn is approved by the church, you're in good shape. St. Augustine says to sing is to pray twice. No doubt under the heavy influence of St. Ambrose, who put a lot of emphasis on music in his churches. One of the things that we try to do, though, is to get the attention of our children and their particular devotions. One of the most fascinating things that I've found with young children, and you may have noticed this yourself if you're a parent, I always used to think that the devotions we're drawn to are a result of the life that we've led. I have a particular devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, and part of that has to do with my own sins and all the troubles that I've been put through by my own faults and failings, and the way that I relate to God as a result of that. There's a healthy dose of Catholic guilt, so to speak. And I always thought that that was the result of it, but I've noticed something in my own children and the way that they relate to devotions. And they each have a certain attraction to a certain devotion. For my eldest boy, he has a real attachment to the crucifix. And my eldest girl, she has a real attachment to the Blessed Mother. And the Blessed Mother, in particular, icons of the Blessed Mother. And so the icon... what is it? It's Hodrigetea, I think is the pronunciation in the Greek. It means directress. And then there's tenderness. There's the tenderness and the directress are the two primary postures of the Blessed Mother. The one where she is holding Christ and their heads are touching is tenderness. And then the directress is the one where she's holding up her hand and pointing at her son when she's holding the baby Jesus. And of course, in iconography, Christ is portrayed as being a small man in order to indicate the fullness of his divinity. Well, those forms of the Blessed Mother are ones which my daughter is particularly attached to. And it's just a devotion that she has. Naturally, it's been that way since she was a toddler. And the same thing with my boy. He has the same attachment. It's an interesting thing to see children, very young children, develop these attachments, these devotions. I think that if you raise a child in a religious environment where your example is there, they will naturally move to the devotions that they are called to. They'll naturally be drawn to the Lord and the particular way that He reaches out and calls them. And so it's important to pay attention to those devotions, because you can make them central to your entire family and really strengthen the family prayer that you pray. A guardian angel is another one that there's a strong attachment to. And that's one that's very good for children. And then, but then you also have the problem of private prayer. And this is another conversation that I think overlays very well with how to get a family prayer going. A family prayer being based on the devotions to which one is drawn to most closely. Even though if you have a strong devotion to something, as I do to the rosary, there are some days that you wake up and you just don't want to pray. You just don't feel like doing the prayer at all. You can establish a habit of it, and you can still be dry. That's that spiritual desert, that dryness, the dark night of the soul. There was a, I believe it was, it's either John of God or St. John of the Cross, whichever one had an attachment to St. Teresa of Avila, who existed in this desert for a very, very long time. And nevertheless, at the end of it, he persevered, and at the end of it was revealed several great mystical truths because of his endurance. God sends us the trials that he sends us in order to test us and in order to prove us to ourselves. God knows what we're capable of. He offers us opportunities to show that to him, as any good and loving father gives his children opportunities to prove themselves so that they'll be able to stand on their own two feet. That element of God as a father and as a physician are two elements of the Godhead that are probably the most important for us to bear in mind. We often are presented, especially in the proper Catholic teaching, of God as judge, and it's easy to understand God as judge. And by no means should we disregard God as judge. He does judge us. We do stand before the dread judgment seat at the end of our lives, and we stand before it each day. There's a I believe it was one of the Desert Fathers who had remarked, before beginning any activity, the best way to begin an activity is to ask, is this pleasing to God? And if it is not, don't do it. Or find a way to do it in such a way that it is pleasing to God. Have always before you that sense of the judgment. That's a healthy thing to have, but it should also not obscure God as our loving Father who wants us to draw nearer to him, because then we will be more perfected. We will be closer to the wholeness in which we were created. And God as physician, who subjects us to tests and trials in order to improve us. God as physician is God is the ultimate general practitioner. He covers strength training, dietary, care for diseases, head, nose, and throat, all of it. God is the complete physician of our souls. And therefore, he will often send us tests that will improve us, to improve our health, just as he gives us opportunities to stand on our own two feet. And one of the most common of these is this desert that we sometimes enter, where we don't want to pray. We feel the absence of the desire for God. It's an opportunity for us to press ourselves, both to be reminded, on the one hand, that we can do nothing without God. That's an important reminder and the first thing we should think of. And yet to press on because we love God, to press on towards him, to cultivate a love for him and a deep abiding desire for him, such that the emptiness of the desert reminds us of the fullness of the presence of God. Even Christ allowed himself, or rather God put himself in this place. Christ was continuously with the beatific vision, that's what we're taught, all the way through his life, except for one moment, and for only for a moment, when he was on the cross, when the veil was drawn over and the beatific vision was withdrawn. And it was to indicate to him the exact time, so to speak, of his passion, the exact point that he was at. And it was also in order that absence, that desert, that even the saints can find themselves in, was something with which God was acquainted. For it was all of our frailties and all of our humanity that he took upon himself when he mounted the cross. And if there was any frailty or any agony or any human suffering that he did not take into himself, it would be something that was not redeemed. For that which is not taken on is not redeemed. That's what St. Athanasius teaches us. That's how we know Christ was fully human as well as fully divine, in answer to both the Apollinarian and the Arian heresies. So when we find ourselves in that desert where we don't want to pray, we simply have no motivation to do it at all, no matter how well disciplined or habitual our prayers are, we must remember that this is Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a wonderful prayer to start with. And whether you call to the Holy Ghost or whether you recite the entire psalm, whether you just say those words, it is a recognition in yourself and a binding of yourself to Christ on the cross. And it's something that I think I found effective. To sit and contemplate the cross, if you can't say the prayers, if you just don't have the motivation, and there are times when I wake up and I just don't have the motivation, then it's an opportunity then to reflect on what that means, to recognize the cross that you have immediately, and to unite it to Christ's cross. If you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like completing your prayer rule, just say to yourself, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it is a prayer. And call upon the Holy Ghost to enliven your senses. There's a prayer in the Eastern Church, and I'm trying to remember the entirety of it, but one of the passages is enliven my five senses. And it is a call to God to recognize that he is the only one that can draw us to him. We cannot get to him by ourselves. That's Pelagianism. And likewise, in that recognition is also a deep petition and plea for God to help us, because we want to be by him. We don't just want him to want us. We don't just want him to be the driving impetus and have him act on us alone without our participation. We want to desire him, to desire him more deeply. And the great ascetic saints, like St. Francis of Assisi, St. Padre Pio, they had this deep abiding desire to suffer with God, that they might desire him more. And we can cultivate that in ourselves, in our moments. We can cultivate that probably better in our moments where we do not feel drawn to prayer than we can even at the height of our ecstasies. Not to say that everyone is having these spiritual ecstasies like St. Teresa, but what I mean to say is, in those moments when our prayer life is strong, when we have the desire to pray and the environment is perfect for it, like an adoration. And in those moments when we desire to pray more fervently, those are wonderful opportunities to pray strongly that God will always grant us that desire and that enlivening of the Spirit and the establishment of the governing Spirit, as it says in Psalm 50. In those moments when we are in the desert, to anticipate them in the future. In Thomas Aquinas's Imitation of Christ, he remarks on this, that we should not judge those who fall because we don't know how long we'll maintain our own purity. He almost assumes that we'll fall and fail at some point. And there's another monk, an Eastern a desert father, who remarks on the importance of the helpfulness of imagining that we ourselves alone are damned and all other people are saved, as a sort of spiritual exercise, an ascetical exercise. And then finally, there's St. Mark the Ascetic, who actively tells us, that when we desire to pray and the desire for prayer is strong within us, we should pray twice as hard in anticipation of those times when it shall be weak in us. These are all wonderful sayings and wonderful teachings for us to overcome those difficulties whenever we don't want to pray. whenever we don't feel drawn to God, whenever we don't feel like we're in His presence. And if we pray in this way, it will place us in His presence, even if only intellectually. And then if the prayer that we offer is dry, then it is a prayer for us to reflect on in the future until the fullness of our heart is there in it, and we regain the fervor, the fanaticism with which all of our prayers should be uttered. The fire will be rekindled. Anyone who's ever had a campfire knows that you have to be very thorough when you put it out. The reason why is because those embers, even though they look like they're out, they can be very, very hot, and a fire can restart. Anyone who's, if you smoke cigars, you have the same experience. If you ever put a cigar down that you've had going for a while, and you can go back to it an hour later, and if you really try, you can get it going again. You don't need a fresh match. It's the same reason. As long as we cultivate the love of God, the fire in our hearts, we will always be able to rekindle that fire, even if it feels like it's dying down. It simply requires the effort. And so, my prayer today, now, is that when we find ourselves in those spiritual deserts, far from the oasis of God's mercy, far from our desire to pray, that we will be enlivened, and that we will always have the Holy Ghost before our minds, and the cross before our mind's eye, and recall the moment when Christ called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And remembering that moment, we will join Christ on the cross and behold God in His suffering and in His glory and in His love and in His mercy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.